Muy buenas noches. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín.
Good evening. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín there in Osasco, in the congregation that Reverend Celso Borges pastors in Osasco, Brazil, and all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries, and to all those who will be listening and reading in this occasion this conference for today, Friday, November 22nd of this year, 2024. It is truly a blessing and a privilege to speak to you there where our brother Miguel is, there in Brazil. May God bless the Brazilian people. For this occasion, our subject is the angel with the seal of the living God, which was preached on March 26 of 2006 in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and he used the scripture of Revelation chapter 7, verse 1-8, where it tells us, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." And there, in a Bible study, he writes, "Peoples, nations, and tongues," that is, above that last sentence there. "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Zabulon were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. The angel with the seal of the living God. You may please be seated. It tells us in this message that he titled with the same subject that we will be seeing this evening, but it was preached on November 8 of 2015 in Santiago, Chile, and he titled it "The Angel with the Seal of the Living God." And our brother William, Dr. William Soto Santiago, says, "Now, let's see what will be happening in this end time." In Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, it says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man." The coming of the Son of Man is the coming of the Lord at the last day. Reverend William Branham, on page 14 of the message, "Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed," says, speaking of the seventh seal of the coming of the Lord, he says, "We do not know how he will come or when he will come, and it is good. It is a good thing that we don't." Why? Our brother William asked, "So that there are no imitations of what the seventh seal is." In other words, the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord, and if he says that it is better that nothing was said about the seventh seal, because if it was spoken what it was and how it was, then some ministers would be able to do something similar because of the way that God would fulfill his coming. In other words, it was imitable. Now, look, on page 106, there is where he shows us this that he quoted from the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And there is an excerpt here in page 106 on the paragraph 923 that it says, and that's what I want to speak to the church on this morning, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began, and how that is unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. See, when you will understand clearly then, you see, and I believe that's what's been done. See, God has this all to himself. It's a secret, and that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of a half an hour, and seven thunders uttered their voices, and John was even forbidden to write it. See, that's the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet, of how he would come and when he would come. It's a good thing that he doesn't. No, he has showed or revealed in every type that's in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been a type, an expression of what God's great goal is. And now, in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. And there on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and on the cornerstone in red, and above he writes, silence half an hour. The coming of the Lord equals Moses and Elijah. How and when he will come, it was not revealed. And he also draws on the left a cornerstone in the ages. And our brother William continues to say, the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord to his people, to his church. When the seventh seal was opened in Revelation chapter 8, it says that there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, look, in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 70 of this version, which would be 80 to 81 of the other version, that it's in the book in Spanish. Look, he says, it's because of the way that they put it together in certain places that the pages change, and here it is in page 70, but in the book in English, it's on page 59. Do you get it? Oh my, now Paul speaking, the time when the seal of God is being made known. What is the seal of God? The seventh seal. The time when the seal of God is being made known, his spirit, his name, his grace. And on the right, he draws a Star of David, and he writes, when the seal of God is being made known. Now, when that seal is being made known, it's because the half hour of silence has begun. All these great mysteries that's going forth now, plans for his church to go in the rapture, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost has done this. That's what he's done in the last days. And on the left, he writes, seventh seal and the name. The rapture in faith, seventh seal and the name. Now, look, in the message, the seal of God, it tells us on page 7 and 8, a little further back in page 7 of the message, the seal of God, some of them place it way over in the future. Some says it's already been in the past, but I believe that there's just two answers to it, and that is that the seal of God is baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the mark of the beast is rejecting it. In other words, rejecting the seventh seal, that is the mark of the beast. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now, that's the only two things There is no chance there. It's either one or the other. Either you believe the seventh seal or you receive the mark of the beast. And I'm going to give you the scriptures why now as we go through. Now, one of them is, remember, all the peoples on earth in the last day is either going to be sealed by the seal of God or marked by the mark of the beast. And he caused all, both, poor, great, bond, free, all upon the earth to receive this mark, who did not have the seal, and whose name are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world when the Lamb was slain, and when their names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, those two great things, now, we're going to start first upon the seal of God. Now, what is a seal? The first place, a seal in the Bible, back in days before people had educated like they are now, their seal was their signature, just like we use today our name. Sometimes the Romans, back in the Jews, and way back in the early Eastern countries, they had a ring and they had their seal and stamped it on something if they couldn't sign their name. That seal, a seal was a bona fide statement, that is, was sealed by this seal, and to try to copy this was a capital fine. Now he writes there, below, the seal of God equals the Holy Spirit, the seal equals the signature, the name. Just like it would be now to try to forge a check, somebody's name, on a check, it was a great fine to copy that seal. And usually, the man wore it and had his seal, wore it on the back of his wrist or either on his ring, and he would seal it instead of signing his name. That was to show that it was, he had sealed it, and he writes necklace, bracelet, and he writes the name, and on the right he writes Revelation 7, 1 to 17, 14, 1 to 19, 2 to 17, and 3, 12. Now look, it tells us in the book of quotations on page 44, and while we look here, also here on 59, before we get there, let's go to 59 of this message, which is a booklet that has the seal of God and the mark of the beast. On page 59 of the message, the mark of the beast, let's also have the book of quotations open there on page 44. Now look, on page 59 of the message, the mark of the beast, it says, but they rejected the Messiah when he came to them just exactly the way the prophecy said he would come and done the very things the Bible said he would do, but he didn't come according to the theology. I hope that don't hurt, but I hope it anchors deep and they come. He showed his messianic sign just exactly the way the Bible said he would do. How many believe that? Sure you do. What was the messianic sign? He was God prophet. See? And then, and when they did, what did they call that messianic sign? Can somebody tell me? What did they call it? Beelzebub. That is to say, what did they call that sign of the Messiah? In other words, what did they call Jesus? That was a sign of the Messiah there. What did they call it? Beelzebub, a devil, a fortune teller. Because he could perceive their thoughts, know what they were thinking, tell them of these things. And the true Jews, what did they say it was? That's the sign of the Messiah. And he writes there, the sign of the Messiah. Nathanael said, truly thou art the Son of God, truly you are the King of Israel. Said, because I told you, I saw you before you come to the meeting, then you believe it? You will be able to see greater things than this then. See, you must believe first, believe it, and then you will see greater things. Look at the key that Brother Branham is giving there. Believe first, and then you will see great things. Don't expect to see great things if you do not believe in the fulfillment of the sign of the Messiah and in what the Messiah is. In other words, the Anointed One, the Christ. Now, we notice what taken place, but the upright, the big churches, the organizations, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Herodians and all those, they said, he's Beelzebub. They had to answer something to their congregation, so they said, he is of the devil. Haven't some ministers said that today? They have to answer their congregation, and some, like Nathaniel, the true believers, who he came for, because the rapture in faith and the transformation is for those who love his coming, for those who wait for him. Then those ministers like Nathaniel said, we have found the Messiah. There are some who said they have to answer their congregations, and they say to them, that's of the devil, that's Beelzebub, because that is what happened in the first coming of the Lord. They had to tell their congregation, so they said, he is of the devil now. Bear that in mind. And they were religious men, holy men, godly men. As far as the world was concerned, one sin against them, they would be stoned. Scholars, graduated seminary students, in a line of clergy men, and were condemned, and Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Then, don't you condemn the Holy Ghost when it calls you out what you are? Now, notice, in the message that God gave us on Wednesday, there is a place in the subject that Brother Branham preached, the second coming of the Lord. Notice, look here, on page 6 where we read in that occasion, he says, there's two factions in this earth tonight, the believer and the unbeliever, the one the Lord is coming to receive and the one that the Lord is coming to condemn. At his coming, he will bless one and he will curse the other at his appearing, in other words. And see, here he tells us, don't you condemn the Holy Ghost when it calls you out what you are. Because those reaping angels come to make the separation, the segregation. He will bless some and will curse others. As simple as that. See? Blind leading the blind. Won't they all fall in the ditch? Certainly. Watch the scriptures. Watch the promise. Know the hour that's approaching. Those disciples filled with the Holy Ghost, marked with that sign in their foreheads of that seal of God, they begin to watch. And he writes there, the Holy Spirit, the seal, has the name of God. Now, look, on the page that I quoted just now, on page 44, on the paragraph 377, it says, and when the Nicolaites set up their leaders and put a marble stone at his feet, see, God set up his Spirit-filled leader for his Spirit-filled group, his angel, and it set upon him a seal of a name. But he must not reveal it. He must keep it to himself. See, no man knows, but and he writes the angel, but himself. Hidden manna, he writes there on the left. Him, a stone, a new name that no man knows but himself. And it was addressed to the angel of the church, and there on the left he draws a Star of David. I wonder if Luther knew that. I wonder if Wesley knew it. I wonder if the other great angels. And I wonder today if in the coming in the world soon, the great angel of light that'll come to us, that'll lead us out, a great Holy Spirit coming power and will lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He probably won't know it, but he will be here some of these days. He will make it. God will make him known. And there on the right upwards, he writes, the seal of a name, the great angel of light. This is an excerpt from the book of the ages. Now, our brother William continues to say here in this message, now, seeing here in chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 29 and on, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. On page 95 of the Book of Quotations, on paragraph 825, he tells us, trumpet always denotes war, the messenger, the angel. And there he draws a Star of David on the left side. Come on earth, the messenger of the hour, like Luther's, like any of the messengers that we've talked about. What does he do? He arrives, and a seal opened, revealed, a trumpet sound, war declared, and away they go, and then the messenger dies. And he writes there, Revelation 11. He seals away this group. There's put in, and a plague falls upon those who rejected it. See? Then it goes on. Then they organize yet another organization. And above he writes, the angel opens the seal. And above he writes, the angel opens the seal. And our brother William, after reading the scripture of Matthew 24, he says, and on page 458 and 459 of the Book of the Seals in Spanish, Reverend William Branham says that those angels are the two olive trees of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11 to 14, and Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 to 14. Which we are going to read that little portion there of page 458, which is the 532 of the book in English of the Book of the Seals, from where it tells us halfway down the page, it says, notice, God's 144,000 elect Jews, they do not bow to the beast, his denominationalism or statues or anything, though their nation is in a covenant with it at the time. Israel is in a covenant, but here is the 144,000 that's not going to do it. There's a place where he says that Moses and Elijah will be there to show them their mistake. I think that is in the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, notice, though their nation is in a covenant with it at the time, Israel is in a covenant, but here is 144,000 that's not going to do it. In the message, the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 143 from the book in Spanish, it tells us, let's see here, this should be equivalent to the one that I have in the 124, which is in the book in English, the 106. Now, these two prophets, what will they do? It's Moses and Elijah that will rise on the scene. They will tell those Jews their mistake, see? That is, the Jews, meaning as a nation, there he's ministering to them in the political part. Notice, the 144,000, that is in the part where they are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And there we are, let's say, in the religious part. But for Israel as a nation, there he is already speaking
una forma ya política.
Politically.
Ahora dice,
now notice,
y de ese grupo it de says, judíos que están allí
and
ahora,
out of that Jews bunch that's there now, to be the 144,000, God will call by these prophets, what is it? The spirit of Elijah, of this Gentile church, will just continue right on into that Jewish church, go right on it, and call Moses with him. Hallelujah. You see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews that they rejected the Messiah. Now notice, and that continues there, that is in the book of quotations, that excerpt, that portion there is in the book of quotations. Let's turn to the book of quotations there, where it is on page 57, paragraph 494, it says, the spirit of Elijah of this Gentile church will just continue right into that Jewish church, go right on and call Moses with him. You see it? And there he circles, and he will preach the same message of Pentecost to the Jews. And he writes, year of Jubilee, that they rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it? It'll be the same Pentecostal message that those Jews will preach right over to them. And above he writes, Moses and Elijah. That is, in the paragraph, and where it says the spirit of Elijah, he writes, fifth Elijah. And on the left, he writes, the Jewish age equals dispensation of the kingdom and the age of the cornerstone. And he writes, the Gentile church. And on the right, a cornerstone and the ages and a little arrow going upwards to the cornerstone. Now notice, what he says, where we are reading of 533 of the Book of the Seals, it says, though their nation is in a covenant with it, and that time Israel is in a covenant, but here's 144,000 that's not going to do it. Now look, in the message, the oneness of unity, it tells us on page 21, it says, you cannot sit neutral. Meaning, you cannot be lukewarm. You cannot sit neutral. In other words, if you're neutral, then you are a hypocrite. You are neither hot nor cold. The Bible said, in this day, that every man that wasn't sealed with the Holy Ghost would have the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Unbelief. Don't you know that there, if your pastors have taught you in the Old Testament when the trumpet sounded, if the man wanted to go free, he could go free. And he writes the trumpet of Jubilee. If he didn't, he would walk to the post and had an owl bored through his ear, because he refuses to go free. And if you refuse to go free, then you will serve that taskmaster the rest of your day, and you are lost. Now, when did this mark begin? Look, and to whom? Who was the first? In other words, the mark of the beast, which here, he tells us that is in unbelief. On page 9 from the message, The Seal of God, which in the book in English is page 8, it says, now we find out that the first marking of a human being started in Genesis 4:15. God marked Cain. Now, what sign was put there? Unbelief. God marked Cain. That's where the first mark of the beast was ever put on. What's put on Cain, he is the beginning of it. Look where it began. And he writes there, Cain was sealed with the mark of the beast. In other words, with unbelief. And where does it say that he was marked? Let's see what the Bible says, where it says that no one could touch. No one could touch Cain. Let's see here in Genesis 4. Verse 15. Let's see here, verse 15. Verse 14 and on, it says, "Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." In other words, look, this is Cain speaking to, that is, being in contact there, because look further back. Let's read this part here. Verse 8 says, from chapter 4, says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him," the first murderer. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" In other words, he was rude as well, disrespectful. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand." Now God cursed him there. Notice how the blessing and cursing is always in that manifestation of that angel. He blesses some and curses another. Here he's cursing Cain, the unbeliever. Now in his second coming, notice what he says there, that he will bless some and others will curse the unbelievers. "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth and from thy face." Now, this is completely fulfilled later on with those who spurned God's mercy for the last time in the Great Tribulation, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Behold, thou hast driven me out of these days from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Now notice that a person who is marked by the mark of the beast cannot be, or no one cannot stick one's hand into intervene for that person. And that, in other words, look, there, Peter, he tried to cut that man's head off because the spear, the sword, was aiming to the neck. He cut off his ear. But notice, that was not the way. It was not the way that he would carry out the work of God at that time, because Jesus could not be prevented from giving his life there on the cross to carry out the work that he came to do in his first coming. Now look. He goes on to say in this message, the seal of God. He says, that's where the first mark of the beast was put on Cain. He is the beginning of it. Now, it continues saying here where we stopped, on page 533 from the Book of the Seals in English. Same thing it is right here in the Gentile Church. It is an elect group. You cannot pull them in that kind of stuff. That is, the bride will never be pulled into those things. They won't believe it, no sir. When the light once struck them, that settles it right then. They see it happen, then see it vindicated and proved it like that. And they look down here in the Bible, see that word's just going. And he writes, made flesh. Well, you just might as well just quit fooling with them, because they believe it, that's all. Though they can't explain it, but they know they got it. So, as I say, there's a lot of things I can't explain, but I know it's real anyhow. Alright, this time was between the sixth and seventh seal that he calls these people spoken of Jesus in Matthew 24 chapter and the verse 31st verse that we've just read. See, trumpet here, the two witnesses of the, when the trumpet sounds, is the trumpet of the two witnesses and of the age of grace. For the Jews, one trumpet sounds. You notice one trumpet sounds. He said, he'd sound a trumpet. Now notice over here on the 31st, and he shall send forth his angels, not one. See, there's two of them with the great sound of a trumpet. What is it? When God gets ready to speak, there's a sound of a trumpet. That's always his voice. It's calling to battle. See, God speaks. These angels will come forth with the sounding of a trumpet. And did you notice at the last angel's message, the trumpet sounds? The first angel's message, a trumpet sounds. Second angel's, and a trumpet sounded. When he sent it out, notice, but when the seals were announced, they were all in one great divine thing to call out a group of people. There was one trumpet sound, and seven seals were broke. Notice, gather his elect Jews from the four parts of the heavens. He mentioned the six seals as we have seen, but not the seventh seals. He has never said nothing in here about the seventh seal, nowhere. See, right away, the 32nd verse turns to parables of the time of the calling of the elected Jews. And notice, as he tells us in the message that we will be watching and hearing on this occasion on page 17 or 16. Let's see, what page is it here? Where he tells us in today's message on page Page 15, at least in this one, it's 15, where he tells us, 15 and 16, he says, therefore, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Hebrew people need the coming of the angel with the seal of the living God. We all need him to appear on the earthly scene, in the midst of Christianity, and then in the midst of the Hebrew people, so that the purpose for which he is promised to be sent may be fulfilled, where the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Hebrew people will be greatly blessed. Therefore, this angel, who is first sealing the elect, that is, the church bride, thus giving them the rapture in faith, and then sealing the 144,000, must be an angel being manifested on earth in a veil of flesh, that is, appearing on the earthly scene. As our brother William told us there in this message, that we will be watching and hearing on this occasion. Now, The seven angel messengers have left. So has the angel who brought us that message of good tidings and news also left. As we were seeing in that message on Wednesday, what's left is the angel ascending from where from the east, that is, with the seal of the living God, who is on the earthly scene carrying out the content of the seventh seal, that is, what happens in this half hour of silence. Now, he goes on to say in the message that we are reading of the angel with the seal of the living God, which was preached on November 8th of 2015, our brother William continues to say, it is the ministries of Moses and Elijah being repeated at the end time to call and gather the elect of the Hebrew people, which are 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 of each tribe, that is what is prophesied. In the book of the seals, on page 244, which is the 281 from the book in English, and it tells us, halfway down the page it says, let's think about David. Then Pentecostal had beyond joy. They was really stimulated. I think it does anyone. Let's just take a moment. Let's think about David. He got all stimulated too. He said, my cup is running over. I believe he really had a great event in his life. What caused him to do that? When he was in the Spirit, for he was a prophet. We know he was. The Bible said so. Prophet David now, for he was a prophet and he was in the Spirit and he seen the resurrection. If you like to read it, it's in Psalm 16:8-11. He said, moreover, my flesh was made glad. I rest in hope because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither you will suffer your Holy One to see corruption. And tell you, his cup got running over because he seen no matter what it was. Oh, he seen the resurrection and he was really, and his cup run over. Again, David had another cup running over in 2 Samuel, being that you got your pencils out. 2 Samuel 6:14, we were reading on it on Wednesday. There had been a dry spell. They had took the ark. The enemy had come in and got the ark of the Lord, and they had took it down and set it before Dagon, and Dagon fell on his face and took it to the other city, and plagues broke out. That was the hottest thing they ever had on their hands down there, and they couldn't get rid of it because it was out of its place. In a writing there, he writes, the ark out of place causes problems. Now, when they put it on the ox cart and started back, and when David saw the ark coming, you know what he did? He got so full and his cup got running over, the stimulation. When he seen the word being revealed back into Israel again, he danced in the Spirit all around like that. Yeah, his cup got running over. You see why? He saw the word coming. Returning. He saw the word returning. And how will the Spirit of God, the Ark, return to Israel? In a prophet. Israel will rejoice and there will be a revival. It says that it will bring thousands upon thousands. Let's see. That is in the book of quotations. Let's see in which part it is. I didn't have it written down, but if you can find it there, around here, where he tells us, it must be where it says, the sealing angel will bring thousands to Christ. It says something like that. That is in 2A, page 2A, that is in page 15. It says, the same Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost is right here for you. Then the gospel goes back to the Jews right there at that time. Then there will be a revival amongst the Jews right there that will carry thousands and tens of thousands and 144,000 into the kingdom of God, will be sealed by the sealing angel, and he writes Moses. And right there, as soon as the sealing angel begins to seal the 144,000, the Gentile church door is closed, and the Jews take the Holy Ghost to the Jews, because it is a Jewish age, and they will have a revival that will sweep the entire world. Hallelujah! And the power of God will be manifested among the Jews. And he writes, Moses and Elijah and the 144,000. And also on the left upwards, he writes Revelation 7:2, Revelation 11:3-7, and Revelation 14:1. And now he continues saying, his cup got to run over. You see why he saw the word returning, and he draws a Star of David. I think that would make anybody get a little stimulated when they see, after all these years, and then the true word by the promise that it would be being brought forth and vindicated. And above he writes, the word returning to Israel, to the 144,000. The ark equals the revealed word. And he also writes, the ark equals the word returning to Israel in his angel, in the Holy Spirit, which is incarnate in a man. Notice, and that is why he can carry the ark, the word, to Israel. Now, he goes on to say here, now remember, let's see in this message, trying to do God a service without it being God's will, because notice what we were speaking about on Wednesday, that the ark must be carried in the heart of a prophet. That is in the message, trying to do God a service without it being God's will. On page 83 at the bottom, it says, Christ is our ark, the word. They want their denomination. He cannot be carried on the new cards of the denomination. His message cannot go in the cart of a new denomination when it's supposed to be bore and come in the heart of a prophet. And he writes there, Revelation 10, 1-11, and above he writes, the ark, Christ, must come in the heart of a prophet. Now, our brother William continues to say here, it is the ministries of Moses and Elijah being repeated at the end time to call and gather the elect of the Hebrew people, which are 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 of each tribe. That is what is prophesied. Therefore, when we see the Spirit of God approaching the Jews, let's open our eyes. It says, As the Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles, that was through Peter in the house of Cornelius and Paul among the Gentiles, as the Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles will take it to the Jews, and the rapture will take place. And it shows that these two anointed ones are the two olive trees. You can find that on page 36. Of the Book of the Ages in English. And look, in a writing here in the Book of Quotations, he writes Ezekiel 37 from 1 to 15, and he writes, it's a spiritual revival for Israel. Now, who brings that spiritual revival for Israel? Moses and Elijah. Now, he continues saying, something great in the divine program is preparing to take place. Therefore, let's be ready, because the angel with the seal of the living God will manifest himself at this end time to seal 144,000 Hebrews and to transform the believers of the last day. If the angel is going to manifest himself, he has to have a veil of flesh to manifest himself. And the veils of flesh that he was using in the ages are no longer here. They left. And the last one who was the one that was in that gap, announcing, bringing us the good tidings, also left. And he announced the first coming of the Lord. And at this time, he announced the second coming of the Lord. And he had that ministry and it left. And he said it, the sooner I give this news, the sooner I can go. But how can they say that the matter of the angel of the seal of the living God to call and gather 144,000 and also to give the rapture in faith to the bride is fulfilled in him? If he, that is God, through his Holy Spirit told us that he was coming for his bride to take her away, yet he says, the sooner I give them, the sooner I can go. But he didn't take her. If he didn't take her, then the person has to see where the angel is carrying out that work that he promised to carry out in the midst of his church bride, and the Hebrew people, and for the Hebrew people. Therefore, if it was not fulfilled, then one has to see where the Holy Spirit is, where the Holy Spirit rested, as simple as that. Something great in the divine program is preparing, our brother William says there, to take place. Therefore, let's be ready, because the angel with the seal of the living God will manifest himself at this end time to seal 144,000 Hebrews and to transform the believers of the last day, because Christ, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, he with the shout, voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, will resurrect the dead believers in him, and he will transform us who are alive. That is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 to 18, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 to 58. And look what it tells us in the message, the rapture, where it shows us that this event of the shout, the voice of archangel, and the trumpet of God takes place. In other words, and God will do it by a prophet. He says, quoting that scripture of Thessalonians chapter 4 from 13 and on, it says in that part here, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And Brother Branham says, three things happen: a voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appear. Now, a shout, Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. A shout, what is the shout? It's the message going forth first. And there on the left he draws a cornerstone and he writes from 6 to 9. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things and he never changes his policy. He never changes his He's the unchanging God. In Amos 3:7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until first he revealeth it to his servants, the prophets. And he writes there, God will do it by a prophet, all three things. Now look, in the message, the man who received the keys of the kingdom of David, which was preached on November 8th of 2009 in Franca, Brazil, it says, so the promise is that the Holy Spirit, Christ in Holy Spirit, will be in the midst of his church the whole time. He has been in the messengers, that is, he has come into each messenger, and through them he has been speaking and carrying out the work relevant to each time. In the message, the patriarch Abraham, it tells us on page 4 to page 5 of the book in English, he says, his seed, the same thing. The promise of God is the seal to those who are the seed of Abraham. The promise is a seal, a sign, witness. And when we believe every promised word, then the seal is given to us to confirm the promise by. And he writes on the left, the seal. See, if we being the seed of Abraham, we go through the test whether we are going to believe the Bible or not. The Bible is the Word of God, because it is God. And then after you've went through the test to believe, and there he draws a Star of David on the left, and on page 5, look, further on, he says, and faith in God's word brings you to this promise, and then only can you have power to possess the seal of the promise. And the promise that we receive the seal is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he writes Revelation 7 verse 2 and 11 from 3 to 7. In chapter 11, verse 3 to 7, that's right, for that is God in the form of Spirit, you being His Word in you. Then He comes in. If you receive the Word in you, the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can make that live. And then you have the promise of possessing the gates of every enemy that tries to attack you. And he writes, the gates on the right side. That's right, God promised it, and it is so. And he draws a Star of David on the left. Now notice how the seal of God is given to us and confirms the promise. How is the promise confirmed? Because we have identified and we have received that seal. In other words, the one who brings that seal. Now look, he continues to say in this same message, at the last day, it will be the same way. The angel with the seal of the living God with the Holy Spirit will be on earth at this end time. Now, if the Holy Spirit has to be on earth to seal the 144,000, then he has to be in a veil of flesh. At the last day, it will be the same way. The angel with the seal of the living God with the Holy Spirit will be on earth at this end time. And through that messenger, he will work and fulfill what he has promised, as simple as that, Brother William says. Notice that he always added the as simple as that, because it was going to be so simple that by the human side they would say, but how is it possible that such a great thing is being fulfilled in that simple way? He already left, so it is not him. You cannot think that he will return to fulfill all of this. There must be a veil of flesh on earth where the Holy Spirit carries out that work. And that is how we will see the key of David being manifested. And that is how we will see the rest of the promises. There is a piece of paper where he wrote all the promises of Revelation made to the overcomer in Revelation 2:1, 3:1, and 21:7, and the types and figures of Revelation 1. Revelation 10 from 1 to 11, 19 from 11 to 21, 7 verse 2, 14 from 14 to 20, attributes of Christ will be fulfilled or will be in fulfillment in the last manifestation of Christ, the angel of the covenant, veiled and revealed in his angel, or the angel of Jesus. Now notice how those promises of Revelation, this little part is folded here, where he writes there, Revelation 1:1, Revelation 22:6, and 22:16. Because notice, by the scriptures, having a twofold and even threefold revelation and threefold fulfillment, they must be seen where they are being fulfilled and when one part was fulfilled and when the other part will be fulfilled. Because notice, That angel came testifying these things to the churches, and he quoted a lot of those scriptures, and he was showing the things that will be hereafter. It is the Holy Spirit himself making those things known. But he said that the Holy Spirit that we had would come in human flesh, page 154 from the Book of the Seals in English. And through that messenger, he brought us the good tidings. He brought us the news and left. And notice that for the promise of the coming of the Lord with his angels, that angel has to be there. He must be present, and he must be made flesh. That is, the angel who was different from the rest. Now, look, he continues to say, God, he says, let's leave, because it is a little further on, let's leave something for the other occasions, and when the seventh seal is publicly opened, we will already be very ahead, and we are not going to stumble. Rather, we will thank God that he would have us prepared for that great revelation that is promised to be made known to the believers in Christ. It will be the voice of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, speaking at the last day, and he will speak through the messenger who comes with the seal of the living God, in other words, who comes with the Holy Spirit. That's on page 154 from the Book of the Seals in English. Now notice, what he was doing was preparing the church bride. Preparing what? That manna that was separated on the sixth day to be kept and given on the seventh day. It couldn't be eaten back then. Why? Look, if it was eaten at the wrong time, and a time that had already passed, then it could cause stumbling. It had to be eaten at the specific time, when the Holy Spirit would be revealing himself, making that mystery known, and that way God's elect could understand it. But if they ate it under personal human interpretations, it would not make that effect on them of that preparation brought by Reverend William Branham and Dr. William Soto Santiago. He says, and I will read this part again because it is very important, let's leave something for other occasions, and when the seventh seal is publicly opened, the seventh seal is already being opened, we will already be very ahead. We are not going to stumble, because the cause for stumbling is always the veil of flesh. Rather, we will thank God that he would have us prepared. Do you see that what he brought was a time of preparation for that great revelation? What revelation? The revelation of the seventh seal. For that great revelation that is promised to be given, made known to the believers in Christ. And that revelation is what brings the rapture and faith. It will be the voice of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, speaking at the last day, and he will speak through the messenger who comes with the seal of the living God. In other words, he comes with the Holy Spirit, which on page 154, it tells us about that Holy Spirit coming in human flesh. And look, on page 428 of the Book of the Seals in English, let's see, of the ages, it is of the ages, 428 of the ages, the edited one. Now, that 428 of the seals is where it tells us about, where it says, for we realize we have just a short time, and the church might go at any time. Now, look, on page 331 from the Book of the Ages in English, it says, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 3:14. My, isn't that the most wonderful description of the attributes of our lovely Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ, these words just make me want to shout. They bring such a spirit of reality into my heart. Just reading them without even waiting for a thorough revelation of the Spirit upon them thrills me. Jesus is giving us this description of himself in relation to the last age. The days of grace are winding up. He has looked from the first century right through the 20th and told us all things concerning these ages before he reveals the characteristics of the last age to us. He gives us one final look at his own gracious and supreme deity. This is the capstone revelation of himself. There on the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Thus saith the Amen. Jesus is the Amen of God. Jesus is the soul, let it be, of God. Amen stands for finality. It stands for approval. It stands for prevailing promise. It stands for unchanging promise. It stands for the seal of God. And there below he writes Revelation 7 from 2 to 8, 14 verse 1, 14 from 14 to 20, 19 from 11 to 21, and 10 from 1 to 11. And all those scriptures shows us the coming of the Lord with his angels. I want you to watch this carefully now and see something really sweet and beautiful now. He also writes on the left towards the top, he writes, the angel equals the seal, the second coming of the Lord. I want you to watch this carefully now and see something really sweet and beautiful. I said, this is his end time revelation of himself. What is the end time revelation? The seventh seal. When the day of grace closes, then the millennium comes very shortly. In other words, that when the end time revelation, the revelation of himself, would be made known, once the dispensation of grace ended, there would be little time left until the millennium. Now, in the message, titled, The Great and Mighty God, The Great and Mighty Conqueror, The Great and Mighty Conqueror, it tells us on page 16, which is page 10 of the book in English, oh brother, I've got a father over yonder, I got loved ones over yonder, it's something to me, when Jesus conquered, I got a wife, I got a baby, I got loved ones. That great mighty conqueror, you can call me holy roller, you can call me religious fanatic, whatever you want to, but when I think of that great war, it's settled. The price is paid. The victory is won. Jesus rose from the dead. The final seal of his messianic ship, that it's over. And he writes, last of the offices, the messianic seal. Last of the offices, the messianic seal. That is the last of the offices of the Holy Spirit incarnate at this end time, the messianic seal. Now, notice, in the message, the gospel will return to the Jews, which was preached on September 14 of 2014 in Cali, Colombia. It says, the gospel will return to the Jews. They will have a Jewish stage of Christianity again, as they did in the days of the apostles. That pertains to the stage of the age of the cornerstone of the last day, from which the gospel will return to the Jews. Now notice, that Jewish stage would come back, Brother Branham says. In other words, it is a stage, he says, that pertains to the stage of the age of the cornerstone. It's an outside stage. Now see, in the message, the second coming of the Lord, on page 8, From the message in English, it tells us, now, let's just notice when it's putting forth its bud. We have lived in a very peculiar time in the past few years. The Gentile church has had one of the greatest revivals that it's ever had since there, since the days of the apostles all, and the Gentile church didn't have the revival then. It was the Jewish church that had the revival, but the Gentile church in the past 10 or 12 years has had the greatest revival of the history. And he writes on the right, revival, and he writes there, the Jewish church. And on the front he writes, in the time of the apostles, the Jewish church had the revival. And he writes, the roots. Now, notice, that is why the Holy Spirit goes out of the church and comes incarnate in a man in the Jewish age, the age of the cornerstone. Did you notice that? Of what we read? When the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, he that letteth, do you remember that writing? And it says that the devil comes incarnate later, but notice, the Holy Spirit, he says, comes incarnate in a man. Where? In the Jewish age, the age of the cornerstone. Where is the Holy Spirit taken out of the way? Out of the ages, out of the dispensation of grace. He is taken out of there and placed in the age of the cornerstone, incarnate in a man. And there, when the God's elect recognize him, they recognized him and crowned him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now notice, in this message, the angel with the golden censer, which was preached on October 3 of 2009 in Goiânia, Brazil, it says, in other words, it was preached here in Brazil, he says, therefore, it will be the coming of the Anointed One. There, he speaks to us, as our brother Miguel says, and he told us, there in Argentina on Wednesday, he said, that Anointed One, notice the word Anointed One was not spoken of in the time of Brother Branham, nor in the time of our Brother William. There is something very important there. Now look, he says, therefore, it will be the coming of the Anointed One, of the Anointed Man that they are waiting for in the last day, the coming of the man anointed with the Holy Spirit, the coming of the man in whom the Holy Spirit will come to the Hebrew people. On page 46, let's see something there.
Del libro. De citas.
From the book of quotations.
Párrafo.
In the paragraph 399. Look, he says, now, 1914, the world went to war, and they have never been at peace since, constantly swinging in, and they are doing the very same thing today. And what was they doing? Holding, oh God have mercy, holding that great thing that I saw in the vision, the whole thing become to destruction, holding the atomic. That is what he saw when he turned around and saw craters and smoke upon North America. Now, what's holding it back? Look, holding the wars that they don't destroy themselves until the thing comes to destroy it, until Israel returns back and gets herself together, and then the message will go to Israel, and she will be sealed with the seal of the Holy Ghost. And there, he writes above, the atomic war, Revelation 7:1, and the angel with the seal of God. See why the World War III cannot be unleashed yet, which will be atomic? Because first, the 144,000 Hebrews must be sealed in their foreheads, that is, with the knowledge of the coming of the Lord. Now, he says, the coming of the man in whom the Holy Spirit will come to the Hebrew people, but he will first appear to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. On page 107 of the book of quotations, on paragraph 936, it says, Christ has mercy. The law put you in jail, but couldn't get you out. The prophets is God's justice to condemn you and kill you for it. That's right. But Jesus was God's love and revelation to let know to the predestined seed that he had called you. This is him. Hear him. And above he writes, law puts you in jail. And he writes, the prophets equals God's justice to condemn. And on the right he writes, Revelation 11, verse 3, 7, from 1 and on, 19, from 11 to 21, 14, and also chapter 17, all of that is from Revelations. Know the fullness of Godhead is made known. This secret of mystery is now revealed, that God is manifested. God and man become one. The anointed man, Christ. What does Christ mean? The anointed one. The anointed that was anointed with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh my, how can people doubt it? Where once partly Moses had him, partly David had him, oh my, but here he is manifested in its fullness, deity himself standing on earth, God in his fullness, to die for the sin of the people, that he might bring to his church a sanctified life, that he might have the preeminence in fullness in his church to manifest every promise in the last days that he promised for the last days. See? What was? Listen now, are you? Now just pinch yourself a little now. Pinch yourself so you don't fall asleep, don't doze off. And he draws a cornerstone on the left, and above he writes, to manifest every promise, and he writes, Christ equals the anointed man. Now notice how he is showing us there something that was going to be fulfilled at this end time. And look, in the message, Blasphemous Names, on page 16 of this message, it tells us, now, that then, from this and then bringing this into the seven church ages, God is building in seven church ages a bride for Christ through the Philadelphian, Thyatirian, and Pergamos, and Smyrnian, and Ephesus, and a church age that Jesus said, if the bridegroom comes in the first watch or the seventh watch, all these virgins awakened. And he writes on the left, the seventh watch. They awoke. The virgins of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Did you notice that? It was in the seventh age that when he came and woke up those sleeping virgins, behold, the bridegroom is coming, see? Go out to meet him. That brings them all the way back down to here, see? For in this, through the years, ages, he has built a bride, born a bride, begotten a bride on earth for Christ. And the same way that he begets this bride, he has begot individuals. Now, I'm backgrounding this so that you will see when the sister's dream is being told. Now, these things here absolutely must be in the Christian before the Holy Ghost ever seals them, before this comes down on top and makes a complete unit, and he draws a Star of David, and he writes, to be sealed. And look, on page 27 of this same book, Blasphemous Names, it says, now, therefore, when she does that, when that church comes to this place, or the individual, the church is going to be there. Let me say that real good, so you get it. The church is predestined to be there. I want to be with it, but the only way I will be with it is to be a part of it. How do I become a part of it? Being in it. How do I get in it? By a baptism, by one spirit first. By a baptism, by one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, by one spirit we are all baptized into one body baptized into it. But you cannot stick these little things and say, I spoke with tongues, I got it. You go out of here and angry and swear and carry on. See? that's putting peacock feathers in a yay bird. See, you cannot do it. Your own life proves that it's not. But when these things are operating in you by God, then you are sealed. Then there is no put on about it. And he writes, it's real. You're just yourself. And there he draws a Star of David on the left. That's when the visions, perfect Holy Spirit, works of God, everything is made manifest. Because? Why? You and Christ become one. I hope that's understood. You and Christ become one. I had something else I had wrote down here I wanted to think of. Brings us to the place of life. Then you become. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And then you become and have eternal life. And on the left he draws a Star of David. And look, on this same page, 108, on the paragraph 938, it says, he is expressing himself, that's his purpose. That is why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, express himself in Christ. Then express himself through the church. And then the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it let the Word go through them. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church, have the preeminences in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom. And he writes above, the church is the Word equals when the Word for her age or dispensation is expressed through her. The anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Now, back then, it was the Hebrew bride. And notice, at the beginning, Christians. Now, it is the anointed Gentile bride. And we are going to leave it there for the moment. And we have seen what he spoke to us there. Therefore, it will be the coming of the anointed one, of the anointed man that they are waiting for at the last day. He was made Lord and Christ in his first coming. That is why they called them Christians. Now, here he comes. He comes to his church, which is the coming of the Anointed One, the angel with the seal of the living God. Let's stand up and thus leave with us right away in this subject, the angel with the seal of the living God, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.